Chapter 10. Max and Joe go to war. Back in Germany, the defeated Max Schmeling received a less enthusiastic welcome than after the previous fight, and he knew he now had enemies in the Nazi party. They were angry that he had refused to fire his Jewish manager, and also that he had kept his Jewish friends and tried to help them. Now that he was hurt and beaten, his enemies would remember everything. The German Minister of Sport, Hans von Chammer und Osten, had a long name and an even longer memory. He remembered his meeting with Max back in 1934, when he had asked him to box more often in Germany and to fire his Jewish manager. At that time, Max had felt invincible and explained to the Nazi that when he boxed in the US, he was representing Germany. Regarding his manager, Joe Jacobs, he smiled and answered that he would stay with him because loyalty is a German virtue. Von Chammer was not amused, but what could he do at that time? He knew that Schmeling was still untouchable. By 1940, however, things had changed, and Max was shocked when he was ordered to report to the local army headquarters. Generally, celebrities were exempt from army service, and Max was 35 years old, which was beyond the draft age. With Hitler's approval, von Chammer had arranged for an exception to be made. He wanted to make Max suffer now. Nobody listened when Max showed the doctor his sports injuries. He was sent to a parachute regiment, together with men who could almost have been his sons. In 1941, Max's unit was ordered to parachute into Greece to attack the British forces there. On the 30th of May, the Times and many other Western newspapers reported Max Schmeling killed in Crete. Another newspaper said that Max had been slightly hurt after parachuting and was caught by British soldiers. It reported that Max had tried to escape, but he was shot and killed. The next day, the Times corrected their story and said that Max was actually alive, in German hands, and although he was ill, he was getting better. Surprisingly, when Joe Lewis heard the news, he said, "Schmeling said some bad things about me and my people, but I'm really glad he's not dead." The Nazi Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, saw this as a wonderful opportunity to humiliate the Western press and ordered an interview with Schmeling from his hospital bed. However, the minister's plan backfired when Max explained that he became ill after eating old chocolate that the British had left behind. He also described the British as good fighters and said that all his friends who had been caught by the British had been treated very well. Max said that he hoped the war would be over soon so he could meet his American friends again. Goebbels was furious with this pro-British talk and wanted Schmeling to be tried in a Nazi court for being a traitor to the fatherland. His life was in danger again, but this time Max was lucky. As a soldier, he had to be tried before a military court in Berlin instead. To Goebbels' frustration, the judges found Max innocent. Goebbels, still hungry for revenge, ordered that the name Max Schmeling would never be mentioned in German newspapers again. So Max's name suddenly disappeared from public attention, while Joe Lewis's name was the hottest thing in the USA. Then, on the 7th of December 1941, Americans heard the shocking news of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. In this attack, 2,403 servicemen were killed, and many warships and aircraft were destroyed. The US declared war on Japan. A few days later, Japan's ally, Germany, declared war on the US. Joe Lewis was fiercely patriotic. He agreed to fight the giant Buddy Bear for his title and arranged that every cent of his fee would go to the American war effort. A reporter asked him whether it wasn't foolish to risk so much by fighting for nothing. "I'm not fighting for nothing," he replied. "I'm fighting for my country." The day after he beat Bear, Joe joined the army. He was offered the rank of officer, but preferred to be an ordinary soldier. At that time, the US Army was segregated, and Joe was put into a unit of black soldiers. Although Joe had always made a lot of money, he had wasted it even faster. On the day he joined the army, Joe owed the US government a lot of income tax. The Internal Revenue Service, IRS, agreed to wait until the end of the year to collect the money. Joe wasn't worried, as he was sure that he would be able to cover his debts with the winnings from a couple of fights after the war was over. Because of his generosity after the bear fight, Joe became a true US hero and was given an important award. In public, he read a patriotic speech, but instead of reading "We'll win because we're on God's side," he said, "We'll win because God is on our side." His audience loved this. Signs of Joe Lewis in soldier's uniform holding a rifle saying the official slogan appeared everywhere and encouraged many men to volunteer.